This is CBS News Radio 78, WBBM Chicago.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Most enjoyable of human pursuits is piecing together a puzzle. If it's a murder, why did he do it? A grand theft? How did they do it? A great escape? How did he slip through their fingers? Today, a combination of the above, penned by the great French writer of detective fiction, Maurice Leblanc. Leblanc created a Robin Hood, Houdini type of brigand, Arsène Lupin, the very first French rogue whose very first adventure is about to be related here.
You mean to say if someone swims across this moat around the chateau, bells would sound the alarm? I'm going to throw a rock in the water and see.
André, don't! The Count is exceedingly nervous. He has a fortune in paintings and lives in constant fear they will be stolen.
This heavy wonder should do.
Now see what you have done. I have to go inside and explain to the Count it was all a mistake. I may lose my job over this.
Our mystery drama, My First Rogue, based on a story by Maurice Leblanc, was adapted specially for the Mystery Theater by G. Frederick Lewis. It stars Lee Richardson and Bob Caliban. I shall return shortly with Act One.
Out of my way! Out of my way!
Irene, put that typewriter down before you hurt...
Oh, my bad.
Oh, Irene, why didn't you get someone from shipping to do that?
Yes, I should have.
Okay, well, look, just sit there. Best thing I can do now is get you some Doane's pills.
Good advice. Doane's pills for temporary relief of simple backache pain due to overexertion, stress, or strain. Use only as directed.
Irene, I thought you went home.
Didn't have to. Those Doane's pills helped me get through the day.
I'm home.
Hi, honey. How was your physical exam?
Okay, but I really have to quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
I've made the decision.
Can you?
Darn right. I bought these.
Bantron Smoking Deterrent Tablet.
Bantron has a buffered formula that works fast. Helps curb your craving for nicotine.
Good.
One Bantron tablet after each meal.
Mm-hmm.
That's my plan. I'm through with smoking.
Hey, this calls for a celebration.
Bantron tablets have the most effective formula you can buy to make it easier to quit smoking. The more you want to stop smoking, the more Bantron will help you stop. Use only as directed.
Are you young enough to live at the Oak Park Arms Hotel? Listen to what these folks are saying about the most active retirement living in the Chicago area.
There are more friends, more things to do, and they could run you crazy if you did everything. It's a delightful place to live.
It's not too regimented. It's not like an institution. And I think it's wonderful.
It's very convenient to the shopping centers. We can get on the bus and go any place we want.
My daughter says, when you go there, you're going to have a ball. And I have. Really have a great time.
I don't want the cooking and the washing of dishes and pans and whatnot, and it's very convenient not to have to do that.
If you can't find something that you like to eat, then you're awfully hard to please.
I've loved every day that I've been here. It's happiness to me.
If you're looking for the time of your life, call Shirley at the Oak Park Arms, 386-4040. That's the Oak Park Arms, 386-4040.
We are in France in the late 1800s. I should be more explicit. We are in Paris, in a café, on a sunny Saturday morning. A café which no longer exists. However, the Paris sunshine is unchanged. Two men are nursing their cognac. One is reading the morning newspaper, the other writing in a notebook.
Well, what is the news, Robert?
Dreyfus was finally pardoned. Shocking it should take so long. Oh, and listen to this, Maurice. someone has put the sounds of birds on some kind of a metal plate. You turn it on, and you can hear it again.
What earthly use is that? Why would I wish to hear the sound of birds at any special time? I'm sorry I asked you.
Why did you? You only get angry when I talk and you are writing. Why don't you write in your rooms where it is peaceful?
It's a choice I don't have anymore. My rent is overdue. Today, the landlord tells me if I don't pay what I owe, he will have me arrested.
How much do you owe?
I haven't paid my rent since last November.
Oh, that much I cannot loan you, Maurice.
So, for me, it is prison. Who knows? Perhaps there I shall find some ideas to write about. I hope they will let me have pen and ink. It was in the prison Fontenay that I made the acquaintance with Arsène Lupin. He certainly did not appear as the master thief of the century. I found him a cultured gentleman who, naturally, would seek out the company of another cultured gentleman, myself.
Maurice, how old are you?
I will be 35 in June, Arsène.
I will be 30 in July. I am the most talked about thief in Europe, and now America.
You've been to America?
A quick business trip. A little matter of a Gilbert Stuart painting of America's first president, George Washington.
I know the name.
I thought it would hang nicely above my mantelpiece in Paris. But Inspector Garimard thought otherwise. He came all the way to Boston and surprised me as I was packing. And so he persuaded me to come to prison.
But if you end up in prison, how can you enjoy it?
Because I am seldom in prison, and then only when I wish to be. You steal also, Maurice.
I do? Never.
To write about people, you must steal from everyone. But unlike myself, you have not found the right person to steal from. What you are doing is not profitable. I see you in your cell next to mine, your pen in hand, your face gazing at the ceiling, searching for an idea. I'll have pity on you, my friend. I'm about to embark upon an adventurous crime against a man who can very well afford a loss, a considerable loss. In fact, he deserves exactly what I'm about to do to him.
Count Crespi, a Frenchman of Italian descent, took advantage of other people's distress, bought cheaply, sold handsomely, bought a chateau and filled it with art treasures. To him, Arsène sent a letter.
Bonjour, Marcel.
Ah, André. Ah, good postman. What do you have for the Count today?
Oh, something special.
Something special for the Count?
A registered letter. You will have to sign for it.
Oh, where do I sign?
Right here where my finger is.
André,
supposing someone didn't wish to use the drawbridge across the moat to get into the chateau.
Then he couldn't get in.
Supposing he swam across the water, what would happen to him?
Before he even got to the wall, electric bells would go off. And we are all supposed to run and fetch the police right away. The slightest disturbance in the water sets off his switch.
You don't say. A ripple in the water and the bell goes off. I'm going to try it with this stone.
No, André, don't.
Why not? This heavy one should do.
Now see what you have done.
I didn't believe it.
Now I will have to go inside and explain to the Count it was all a mistake. I lose my job over this.
The postman accidentally dropped a rock into the moat. Marcel, what are you telling me?
His foot, Count Crespi. His foot accidentally dislodged a stone and it fell in.
What do you have in your hand?
Oh, a registered letter, Count.
For me? I don't wish to see it. I didn't sign for it myself, so I don't know you have it. I don't like registered letters.
Well, shall I open it and read it to you, sir?
That's a good idea. Go ahead, Marcel. Read it.
Oh, Count Crespi. Cher Monsieur le Comte. I have come to admire greatly the Rubens and Watteaus in your gallery. In addition to those paintings, I also know the Beauvais tapestries to the right and in the room to the left, the cases of miniatures and the Louis XIII table. These objects can readily be turned into cash. Therefore, I ask you have them properly packed and sent to my name, care of Le Gare de Batignolles. You have 1 week. If not received, I shall see to their removal on the night of Wednesday the 27th. Believe me to be yours very truly, Arsène Lupin. A P.S. Don't send me the larger of the two Watteaus. It's a copy. The original was burned by Barat during the Revolution. And don't send the Louis XVI Chatelaine, the authenticity of which is exceedingly doubtful. That's all he says, sir.
The nerve! Did you ever hear anything like that?
He seems very sure of himself.
I cannot understand how he has such precise knowledge of the rooms in the chateau where the paintings are hung. Who told him? I never permit anyone in here.
I read that Arsène Lupin is in jail.
So did I. He was arrested in America by Chief Inspector Gallimard. Marcel, take pen to paper. I wish you to write a letter to the public prosecutor at Rouen. Enclose this letter from Arsène Lupin and demand police protection.
Count Crespi, I came myself from Rouen. I have investigated and I thought the matter too delicate not to speak to you in person.
Mr. Prosecutor, I am honored.
It has taken me 3 days to ascertain the facts. I might begin by saying your chateau is quite impregnable. I had to call to the gatekeeper, identify myself, and the drawbridge was lowered over the moat, and your secretary came out to meet me and took me through 4 heavily barred and locked doors.
You are right. Why I suddenly became so concerned, I do not know. No one, not even Arsène Lupin, could get in here.
I know the gentleman.
Lupin? A gentleman?
Yes. He's a gentleman thief. We became acquainted during the theft of the Mona Lisa, which finally the government had to ransom.
Steal the Mona Lisa? A sacrilege. They should have locked up Arsène Lupin in the Bastille and thrown away the key.
But nothing was ever proved. As for this matter, Count, I am informed Arsène Lupin is now safely under lock and key. His every move is watched. Inspector Gallimard has given strict instructions. Lupin is not allowed even to write. Therefore, one must conclude this letter to you is a fake. Whoever has written it is not Arsène Lupin.
Are you the postman?
Yes.
Are you the postman who delivers mail here?
Yes, I am, sir. And who might you be?
I am Count Crespi.
Count? I have never had the pleasure. I am generally met at the drawbridge by Marcel, your secretary.
This morning I put on my old clothes and decided to walk around the property. Is there any mail for me?
No, Your Grace, not a thing today. That is in the way of correspondence. Only this newspaper. It is yours. Please forgive me. I was just reading about Arsène Lupin.
What about Arsène Lupin?
Here, on the second page.
Show me, please. I came out without my glasses.
Right at the top where it says, Welcome Visitor.
Would you read it to me?
Oh, certainly. Welcome to our distinguished visitor, Chief Inspector Gallimard, one of the veterans of the detective service whose recent feat of arresting Arsène Lupin has won him international fame. Monsieur Gallimard is enjoying his rest and will be spending his holiday in our village fishing.
Galina is here. Right here. Most interesting.
And I confess to have played no little part in the new story.
You know the inspector?
Oh, I am one of the few people of the village with whom he is on speaking terms. On Sunday, I was fishing on the dock, and I noticed a gentleman next to me, frock coat, straw hat, and I saw on his fishing rod the name Gallimard. And I said just one thing to him. I said, "Congratulations, Monsieur Gallimard. If you catch fish as easily as you caught Arsène Lupin, you should do well."
What did he answer?
He said, "Thank you," reeled in his line, and walked away.
That's all he said?
Not one word more.
Where did you say you saw the inspector fishing on Sunday?
On the dock. He fishes there every day.
That, in effect, is how Arsène Lupin's latest escapade was revealed to me. The following day, my old friend Robert, the salesman at Beaumarchais, came to see me.
Robert. Ah, nice of you to visit me in jail.
Maurice, I've decided to bail you out of prison.
Thank you very much, but, no.
What?
I am at the beginning of a fascinating story of a man.
Who is it?
My first rogue. And if I leave the prison, I shall never know what happens to him. Let me say two words to you, and then you'll understand. Arsène Lupin.
Some have likened Arsène Lupin to Robin Hood. Others, less charitable, accuse him of robbing Peter to pay Paul, which I'd like to observe was first said in 1560. Then, the estates of St. Peter's Cathedral were appropriated to repair the Cathedral of St. Paul. That's how these catchphrasings begin, but not how they end. More on that when I return shortly with Act Two.
Master Mechanic tools sold exclusively by True Value Hardware Stores are an unbeatable combination of quality and value. Hi, Pat Summerall to say you get both with the Master Mechanic 45-piece tool set, now just $27.49. It's versatile, with both 1/4 and 3/8-inch drive sockets, reversible ratchet and speeder disc. Plus, it includes a hacksaw with 10 assorted blades, sturdy toolbox, and it's backed by the Master Mechanic promise of satisfaction or a free replacement. Get it now at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers.
What's as beautiful as a summer sunrise and delicious besides?
Summer, summer fruits, it wouldn't be summer without them.
Fresh plums and nectarines are here at last.
Fresh from the tree, taste them and see.
So sweet and juicy. California summer fruits taste as good as summer feel.
Nature's way of smiling, sunshine on the tree, delicious naturally.
Fresh plums and nectarines, sponsored by the growers of California summer fruits.
Attention all Brand of Travel Bonus Bonanza members. Now you can make your Brand of Flight segments count for you in Delta's Frequent Flyer program. That's right. As a service to Brand of customers, Delta Airlines will accept your Brand of Flight segments on all trips flown after January 1, 1982 as segments in Delta's Frequent Flyer program. A flight segment is any nonstop or through plane flight between two cities shown on the passenger ticket coupon. Here's all you have to do. Just sign up for Delta's Frequent Flyer program, and you'll receive credit for your brand of flights. Contact your local Delta office or your travel agent for a Delta Frequent Flyer application. Send in your brand of passenger ticket coupons with your application, and you'll receive a credit for your brand of travel. Brand of passenger ticket coupons must show a monetary value of more than $1 each in order to qualify. Credit will not be given to non-revenue or industry courtesy travel. Do it today. Contact Delta or see your travel agent. And remember, Delta is ready when you are.
We return to a small French village outside of Paris. A town noted for its ancient chateau, surrounded by a wide moat, owned by Count Crespi. The Count has been politely requested by that master of the picklock, Arsène Lupin, to divest himself of some of his art treasures. But Lupin is in jail. Did he write that letter, or is it a hoax? Author Maurice Leblanc picks up the story.
Not only was I in the prison cell right next to Arsène Lupin, but we had occasion often to talk in the exercise yard. The guards took no notice. Lupin was a favored prisoner. Stealing was essentially a game to him. And I remember him laughing and saying, "I am sure I have thrown that miserable millionaire count into quite a frenzy," which he had.
Marcel, where are you? Count, I'm terribly sorry, but I did not hear you at first. I hope you hadn't been calling me long. I was just supervising the locksmith, putting a new lock at the servants' entrance.
He has gone, has he?
Oh, yes. I made sure he left and locked up.
I don't want anyone on the premises, understand?
Yes, I do, Count. Why did you call?
Did you know Gallimard is here?
He is? The inspector who arrested? Oh, he's here, is he? In the chateau?
No, you fool. In the village. I got the news from the postman. It's in the local paper. I shall go find him and talk to him.
The inspector. Imagine that. Right in our own backyard, so to speak.
Inspector Gallimard?
You know me. We have met.
No, sir. I have not been that fortunate. I am sorry if I disturb your fishing.
I'm surprised you recognize me. I generally keep out of the public eye.
Your fishing rod, sir. It has your name on the brass plate.
Very observant.
Inspector, my name is Count Crespi. I own the chateau 1 kilometer from town. It's an old chateau, a moat around it. I am very well protected.
Do you have need for a moat?
It came with a moat.
I see.
I have a very fine collection of paintings, objets d'art, miniatures, and almost a week ago, I received a letter. Whoever wrote it knows exactly where each of my works of art is kept. Now, who else but Arsène Lupin?
Sir, if I had the smallest doubt of the authenticity of your letter, believe me, the pleasure of once more looking up that dear Lupin would outweigh every consideration. Unfortunately, the man is already in prison.
Suppose he escapes?
From the Fontenay prison, no one escapes.
But Lupin is known for that. He is slippery, he is daring.
If he does escape, so much the better. I will catch him again. Go home, Count. I tell you, you can sleep soundly. Nothing will happen.
But I fear...
Go away and stop frightening my fish. Count Crespi, I saw you yesterday. Now you appear again. I am displeased. Let me make this plain. I'm here on holiday. I've come to this village hoping to enjoy peace and catch fish. Please, go away.
Inspector, there is a new development. Another communication from Arsène Lupin. A telegram.
I look at it. No goods received in Batignolles. Get everything ready for tomorrow night. Arsène. Well?
Tomorrow is the 27th. Wednesday. It's fixed for tomorrow, just as he warned me.
What is?
The burglary. The theft of my collection. A tremendous loss. You are the only person in the world who always knows how to catch that man. And I hoped...
Well, that's not true. The famous theft of the Mona Lisa, which Lupin was most certainly responsible for, although we could never actually pin it on him. We never caught him.
Ah, you see, it is art that interests him.
It is not art that attracts Lupin. Far from it. It's the ransom money.
You had to pay a big ransom to have the Mona Lisa returned?
I didn't pay it. The French government did. Hefty ransom it was, too. And the trouble we had to keep it all a secret. Very embarrassing for the security of the Louvre, you can imagine. But
Whether the money went to Lupin or Lupin engineered the theft, it was never proved.
Inspector Gallimard, what fee would you take to spend Wednesday night at my chateau?
Not a penny. Don't bother me.
And name your own price. I'm a rich man, a very rich man.
I am here on vacation. I really have no right to take care of the case.
No one shall know. A matter between you and me. Would 10,000 francs be enough? Just one night. Wednesday.
Oh, very well. But it's only fair to tell you are throwing your money away.
I don't mind.
In that case, I agree. Besides, one can never be absolutely sure with Lupin. He's bound to have a whole gang working with him.
Yes, yes, I've heard that.
That letter and this telegram are a case in point. Here is a man in one of our most secure prisons who is being watched every hour, held incommunicado, and yet able to send them to whomsoever he pleases. Incroyable. Now, you had better leave me. We must not be seen together. Who knows who in this village is not in the pay of Lupin? Tomorrow evening, the chateau, 9 o'clock.
On the evening of the 27th, the Count dismissed his servants and his secretary and sent them off to their wing of the chateau to retire. As soon as he was alone, he let down the drawbridge, unlocked all four of the bolted doors, and waited. Promptly at 9, Inspector Gallimard and two other burly gentlemen arrived.
Count Crespi, my two assistants, Detective Poignard and Detective Calembert.
Good, yes. Good, good. Enchanté.
These gentlemen and I have worked together on many a case. Poignard, I'd like you to examine the walls for any unusual openings. And Calembert, I rely on you to look behind all the paintings and tapestries for any hidden doors and to see to it that all windows are bolted shut when we settle down to await the arrival of the ingenious Monsieur Lupin.
Yes, Inspector, as you wish.
Good. Lead the way, Count. I've decided the best place for both of you to be on guard is inside the gallery itself. The Count and I will take up our post on the other side of the courtyard, for I doubt very much an attempt will be made through the front. So, we shall keep watch at the back. Count, the central gallery can only be reached through one door.
Just one door. That's correct, Inspector. This is the gallery. I keep it locked.
It has just this one door, right?
Absolutely.
May I have the keys, please? Poignard, Calembert, after you have made your examination of the walls and windows, etc., etc., the Count tells me there are plenty of chairs and benches so you can both make yourselves comfortable. Not too comfortable, mind you. Eyes and ears alert. Gentlemen, in you go. There are oil lamps on a table. I shall now lock you in, and we shall greet one another in the morning.
See you then, Inspector.
Now, Count, to our post. Good morning, Count Crespi. Well, nothing happened during the night, not a single sound. I was awake while you dozed off. Shall we have a look? You look out the side towards the moat, see if there's anything unusual. I'll look down into the courtyard.
Yeah, I can never find my glasses when I need them. Always on top of my head.
Not a stone out of place in the courtyard.
Inspector, do you think that if no robbery took place last night, then it won't happen another night?
My dear Count, even you, with all your wealth, could not engage me indefinitely.
I am so relieved that nothing was taken. I can only presume, in the same way Lupin knew where my treasures were kept, he knew you were here and he called it off.
Let's go to the gallery and talk to our men this time. Count, you shall be the one to unlock the door. Poignard! Calembert! Look at them both fast asleep.
Look! The walls are bare! The two Rubens are gone! What two? Where are the tapestries?
Oh, no, no, both of them gone. All the miniatures in the glass cases, nothing is left. Not one little miniature. My Louis says sconces. My lord, look up there, that empty chain. That's where I had my Regency chandelier. Oh, no, my 12th century virgin has been taken.
I cannot believe my eyes. The windows, no, fastened securely. There's not a crack in the ceiling. There's not a hole in the floor. Everything's in perfect order.
Everything happens to me. I have lost millions.
The whole event has been carried out with method and speed and great artistry, I'm ashamed to say. He must have had an extraordinary plan.
I hate him. How can you talk like you admire him? I hate
you. Poignard, wake up. Calembert, stupid. Fool!
How can he still sleep? Don't they hear us?
Let me get closer to them. Calembert. Poignard. His breath smells as if he's been drugged.
But
they've both been drugged.
By whom? By whom?
By him, of course, or by his gang acting under his instructions. It's a trick of his. Come to remember. At the Louvre, when the Mona Lisa was stolen, the two security guards on the floor were also drugged.
That's it, then. It was definitely Arsène Lupin. It's hopeless. I shall never see my treasures again.
My dear Count, you must immediately make a list of what is missing and report it.
But what is the use?
You might as well try. The law has its resources.
What you are saying is, I might as well give up hope of ever recovering my pictures. He has stolen the pearls of my collection. Inspector, I would give a fortune to get them back. If you feel there is nothing the law can do to him, then let him name his price.
Now, that is a reasonable idea. Do you mean it?
Every word. Every single word. Yes, I mean it. Why do you ask?
I have an idea. We'll discuss it in due time. Only, Count, not a word about my involvement to a soul. If you wish to succeed.
I understand. You will be using underworld contacts, informers, and so forth.
I swear to you, I shall catch him.
As I look at this unfolding account of a miraculous theft by that Gallic gamester Arsène Lupin, I realize what Lupin has achieved by attacking the chateau as one would a fortress in wartime. Planning, logistics, and a shrewd knowledge of the opponent. A masterstroke by a Napoleon of crime. One of Sherlock Holmes's favorite phrases to describe his enemy Moriarty. I shall return shortly with Act 3.
What's as beautiful as a summer sunrise and delicious to side?
Summer, summer fruits, it wouldn't be summer without us.
Fresh plums and nectarines are here at last.
Fresh from the tree, taste them and see.
So sweet and juicy. California summer fruits taste as good as summer fields.
Nature's way of smiling, sunshine on the tree, delicious
and fresh plums and nectarines, sponsored by the growers of California summer fruits.
On CBS Television. Celebrate the most electrifying theatrical entertainment of the year, featuring scenes from Broadway's biggest showstoppers on the 36th Annual Tony Awards. Among the performers and presenters are Lena Horne, Michelle Lee, Tony Randall, Robert Preston, Ben Vereen, Leslie Ann Warren, Milton Berle, and many more. Don't miss the 36th Annual Tony Awards live from New York's Broadway, Sunday night at 9, 8 Central and Mountain on CBS TV.
This is WBBM Chicago. So you're looking for central air conditioning for your home. You've shopped all the brand names and you know all the sales pitches and they all sound the same. It's a major purchase, so which one do you buy? Well, there's one rule that can save you a lot of money and a lot of trouble. Buy a name that has a history of quality, and that's Singer. Singer is a name that has been associated with quality products for over 125 years, and reliability is a Singer trademark.
the energy-efficient Singer Comfort Maker air conditioners are built for years of trouble-free service. And every Singer cooling system is run-tested before it leaves the factory for added assurance of reliability. You can trust a Singer just like your folks did. See the Home and Leisure Living section of this Sunday's Chicago Tribune for the name of the Singer dealer nearest you. Distributed by Chase Supply Company.
Third act begins to the sound of lamentations from a distraught millionaire who has just been robbed of what he calls the pearls of his collection. Despite all the efforts of Chief Inspector Gallimard, the suspected thief has made off with everything from miniatures to a chandelier without leaving a clue. How did he do it? If he did it, is incomprehensible in view of the fact that as our curtain rises, Arsène Lupin is still in a cell in Fontenay Prison. Author Maurice Leblanc continues.
As Lupin's cell neighbor, I am sworn to secrecy as to what actually took place at Count Crespi's chateau. Today, a visitor appeared. Someone who knew Lupin. Victor, the public prosecutor from Rouen.
Thank you, God. I'll signal you when I'm ready to leave. You may lock me in with the prisoner.
I cannot believe my eyes. Victor, I haven't seen you since, when was it?
And you haven't changed in 10 years, Arsène. No, you have not seen me since the affair of the Mona Lisa.
That's right. You were in charge of the security of the Louvre. What happened to you?
Well, after the scandal of the sleeping guards and the enormous sum the treasury had to pay out for the return of the masterpiece, I was fired. Now I am public prosecutor in Rouen.
Ah, Rouen. Lovely place, lovely cathedral. Isn't that quite near, what's his name? It escapes me.
Count Crespi's chateau.
So it is. And why are you here in Paris, Victor?
The chief sent for me. Dubois.
Ooh, the head, the entire department.
He knew of our former association, and he hoped there would be a meeting of the minds.
You know, Victor, I've always had the greatest regard for you.
Well, coming from a man at the top of his profession, I'm pleased to hear that.
Ooh, I said it 1,000 times, that Victor is the most dedicated man I know. No, sit. Do sit.
Oh, glad to.
What a treat to see a decent man. Victor, through all these years, tell me to what I owe the honor of this visit.
The Count Crespi case.
Stop. Wait a bit. I have so many in hand. Let me just tickle my brain. Crespi. I have it. Of course. 2 Rubens, a Watteau, and a few minor trifles.
No trifles? A Regency chandelier? Beauvais tapestries? The poor man says he's been robbed of millions.
You're not going to believe that, are you? And by the way, aside from the chief, how did you get involved in this?
The Count sent me your letter, which at the time I believed was a forgery, and I told him so. And the police, I don't have to tell you how little they know.
I've seen the morning papers. Again, they're crying for somebody's head.
That's why, for old time's sake, I've come to you hat in hand.
You were decent to me in the Mona Lisa affair and organized the ransom. That's true. Tell me, what can I do?
First of all, the whole Crespi affair was done by you, wasn't it? Off the record.
From start to finish.
The registered letter to the Count, the telegram...
were sent by yours truly. In fact, I ought to have the receipts somewhere. They've given me a table with one drawer. I'm sure I can find them. But this is for the registered letter, and this for the telegram.
I thought you were being kept under constant observation and searched on the slightest pretext. Yet you seem to read the morning papers and collect post office receipts...
Victor, you have no idea what fools run this place. They rip up the lining of my waistcoat, explore the soles of my boots, listen to the walls of my cell. But not one of them would believe Arsène Lupin would use a drawer in a table as a hiding place. Too obvious.
Are you going to explain the Crespi theft a little more?
Not so fast. The letter was the essential beginning.
Yes? The essential starting point?
Indispensable. The mainspring that set the whole machine in motion. The chateau was impregnable. A moat, electric warning bells, bolted doors, etc. How do I go about it? I know the owner, that fat-headed count, lives in fear. One day, he receives a letter from Arsène Lupin, notorious housebreaker. What does he do?
Sends the letter to me, the prosecutor.
Who will laugh at him because said Lupin is under lock and key.
I'm afraid I did just that.
And if he happens to read the local newspaper, he learns the famous detective Gallimard is on vacation within walking distance. He believes what he reads.
How did that get into the papers?
I had put there. Then the fish, I mean the count, rises to the bait and makes the acquaintance of the man he thinks is Inspector Gallimard, and he begs this man to assist him against me.
This is becoming more and more original. So the detective engaged by the count was not Gallimard.
I told you that. Thereupon a telegram. The count quivers with fear. He entreats the false Gallimard to protect him, and the so-called Gallimard brings in two of the boys from our gang who during the night remove certain objects through the window and lower them with ropes into a boat floating on the moat. And all night long, the count is kept in sight by his protector in a far part of the chateau. Count Crespi will be notifying the police within a few hours that he doesn't wish to pursue the matter.
But that's not possible. The chief never mentioned it.
Are you saying the chief knows more than I do about my business? This so-called Gallimard was authorized by the count to negotiate a deal with me, and chances are when the business arrangements are concluded, the count will have all his collection returned, and so he withdraws the charge. So there is no question of theft. It never happened. And even if you care to, you, my dear Victor, the public prosecutor of Rouen, will have nothing to prosecute.
Oh, God, I'm not ready to leave yet.
Well, he didn't come for you. He's brought me my breakfast. But do set the tray on the table, Pierre. Thank you. Look at that. Bread, ham, sausages, boiled egg, and coffee. They treat you well in the Fontenay. Of course, over the years, I've been able to secure jobs for many of those who work here. A few false papers, and they're hired, and they enjoy it.
You have some of your own people working in the prison?
It's hard work, but they like it. Where was I?
Well, you tell me the count is about to withdraw charges of grand theft. How do you know all this?
I have just received the telegram I was expecting.
Whatever you're talking about, you received no telegram. When was this?
This very moment, my friend. Victor, have the kindness to cut off the top of that boiled egg for me, gently. You will see for yourself I'm not making fun of you.
It's an empty shell. There's nothing inside.
Are you sure? Let me just reach my fingers into it. Little lower. There we are. Victor, I hand you a piece of blue paper, folded quite small. Would you please read it?
Yes. It is a telegram. Arrangement settled. 100,000 paid over. All well. 100,000 paid over?
100,000 francs. It's not much, but these are hard times.
So you have managed another ransom.
I was getting bored in here. I had to do something to amuse myself, to occupy my spare time. Especially since the swindle could only succeed while I was in prison. I rather enjoyed playing the part of Inspector Gallimard. I think I did it rather better than he does.
You mean that was you, not an accomplice?
Of course it was me.
But how did you get out of here?
I walked out.
How could you do that?
As easily as having a telegram brought to me in an eggshell.
You simply walked out of this prison and no one said anything?
What should they say? They knew I'd come back as soon as my business was completed.
Did the warden know?
He was the only one in the entire Fontenay prison who was deceived. The rest of the prison staff reported I was in my cell, asleep, awake at meals, in the exercise yard, etc., etc.
Why did they cover for you like that?
I told you, the guards are my friends. Arsène Lupin remains in prison as long as he wishes to, and not a moment longer.
Oh, guard, will you open up this cell door, please?
Victor, a moment.
Huh? What is it?
You've forgotten your new gold watch.
I have, no.
Yes, I just happened to find it in my pocket. Here, please forgive me. An old bad habit. They've taken mine, but that's no reason why I should rob you of yours. Especially since I have a watch here which keeps perfect time. Did I show it to you? Isn't this a beauty? Also, solid gold. Heavy gold chain.
And out of whose pocket did it come?
A good question. I never look. J.G. The initial is J.G. on the case. Now, who on earth does that stand for? Of course, I remember. Jean Gallimard. The real Gallimard, who arrested me in Boston. Not many people know his first name is Jean.
You ask me how I know all this. These extraordinary machinations of one Arsène Lupin. How could I not? I occupied the cell next to his. The day before he skipped out of prison for good, I had to delicately put to him that I'd been spying on him, and that he so inspired me, I hoped to write a series of Arsène Lupin books, and would he give me his permission to do it? And he said,
my dear Maurice, of course you can. I like the name you've chosen to call me. Arsène Lupin. It looks sinful and wolfish. Since it is a name you made up and not my real name, why not? No one in France would recognize it as me because you will probably have a difficult time making me appear as clever as I am. Au revoir, mon vieux. Au bon succès with your books.
Maurice Leblanc's creation, Arsène Lupin, from the moment it was first published, took France and the continent by storm, then crossed the oceans, and the English and Americans took the light-fingered gentleman housebreaker to their hearts. In a way, we can sympathize with a man like that who can bring crime, culture, and cleverness to our imagination. Vicariously, we can steal with him without any of the dangers. I shall return shortly.
If you've been waiting to buy a new appliance, your White Westinghouse dealer is now offering great values on brand new White Westinghouse 1982 models of refrigerators, freezers, washers, dryers, dishwashers, and ranges. And just when you need it most, White Westinghouse dealers are featuring a great spring price down event on previous year's models, floor samples, and other price down values. So buy now and clean up at the White Westinghouse Great Spring Price Down.
White Westinghouse, we're making things better for you.
Sid Hermel, Topol user. You are a...
Pipe smoker. Fairly heavy.
Does it affect your teeth?
You always get this tar, this stain, this discoloration.
He used Topol smoker's tooth polish.
It certainly removed the accumulation of these stains and tars.
Topol smoker's tooth polish with three ingredients to clean and polish helps remove ugly tobacco stains. Gentle enough for everyday use.
My wife said, look at your beautiful teeth now. You're kissable.
Topol. Fluoride in red or mint flavor in the blue package. Use only as directed.
If you've been putting money aside, you can almost see inflation eroding its buying power. Unless it's earning high interest rates or substantial dividends. And right now, thanks to Dreyfus Liquid Assets, even a small investment can profit from the currently high interest rates with complete cash availability. Think of your Dreyfus Liquid Assets account as an income-earning investment with free checking privileges. Privileges that allow you to pay bills and still earn money till the check's clear. You can even withdraw all or part of your cash by phone. There's never a penalty, never a sales or withdrawal charge. To get all the details, call toll-free 800-228-5000 for a simple no-jargon information booklet and a prospectus including management fee, charges, and expenses. Find out how Dreyfus Liquid Assets helps you get the lion's share from today's high interest rates. Read the prospectus carefully before you invest. 800-228-5000. No charge for the call. 800-228-5000. Call now.
When accused of robbing only the rich, Arsène Lupin observed, "Of course, one doesn't rob the poor. They have nothing worth taking." How like his 12th century ancestor Robin Hood? It is said of him, "Poor men's goods he spared, abundantly rewarding them with that which by theft he got from abbeys and houses of the rich." It's always a joy to remember a man who is cleverer than his pursuers. As I said before, it gives one a vicarious thrill. Our cast included Lee Richardson, Bob Caliban, Louis Turenne, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by White Westinghouse Appliance Company. This is Tammy Grimes, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
The way we care for you, both in the air and once you're here in Britain. It means pageantry, so you can catch up on history, historic department stores, so you can catch up on shopping. And if you want to discover Britain at your own speed, we'll get you a Ford Fiesta for a mere $17 a day. Taxes and petrol on you, of course. We'll also get you a room with private bath at the Kennedy Hotel in London for an incredible $19 a night per person. Double occupancy. We've all kinds of excitement and tours that permit you to do your own thing. Prices are even lower than last year, so do come. British Airways will take more care of you.
No one knows Britain better than British Airways. Choose from 22 other London hotels for up to $60 a day. Prices effective through October 31st, 1982. Ask your travel agent about London hotel bargains and Britain car rental.
CBS News. This is Judy Muller. British troops on the Falkland Islands are waiting for a freezing fog to lift over the capital of Port Stanley. Then they are expected to carry out orders to attack at will. At the United Nations, Britain and the United States joined together in a vote against a Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire. U.S. Ambassador Jean Kirkpatrick says she subsequently received a message from Secretary of State Haig, who was with the president in Versailles, to abstain in the vote. Kirkpatrick said, "We got new instructions, but we got those instructions after the vote had been cast." She added, "Of course I am embarrassed. Anybody would be embarrassed." British diplomats at the Versailles Economic Summit in France expressed amazement Friday night at the last-minute switch in the UN vote. The British official said there had been absolute agreement between Britain and the U.S. that both countries would veto the ceasefire call. More CBS News in 1 minute.
Reach out.
Julie, you're home.
Yeah.
How were the pyramids?
Oh, Jackie, it was the most marvelous trip.
Yeah, but it's always great to get home, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's raining here now, but it is great to be home.
I know.
Tell me, did you keep up with the soaps for me?
Yes. Let's see. Did Melanie's mother get into aerobic dancing before you went on vacation?
Yeah. She'd just gone from 1 to 3 classes a week because Frank said he needed more space.
Okay, well, then what happened was Melanie left town with Brutus.
Brutus?
Right, her schnauzer, remember?
She ran off with her schnauzer.
Yes, and the vet.
Vance gave up medicine for Melanie?
Yeah, he gave up everything and went into video games.
Oh, let me get this straight.
Okay.
Vance is manufacturing video games?
No, he's playing them. Oh, and before I forget,
what?
Fred and Alexis are adopting twins.
Fred and Alexis?
Right, your brother Fred and his wife, remember?
That Fred and Alexis.
Reach out to someone. The Bell System.
The North Carolina State Senate rejected the Equal Rights Amendment Friday by a vote of 27 to 23, a major setback for supporters who hope to see the amendment ratified by the June 30th deadline. After the vote, ERA supporters who jammed the Senate gallery clapped hands and shouted, "ERA won't go away." It took about 20 minutes to restore order. The president of the National Organization of Women, Eleanor Smeal, says it's not the end of the fight.
From day one, everybody keeps telling us there's no chance. The retort to all that is that women are not going to accept us a half pay and half the opportunity of men forever, and we're just going to push on until equality is ours. They have to realize that they can't win by procedural maneuvers only. They have to capture the hearts of this nation. We've already are doing that, and we intend to push on.
In Springfield, Illinois, a group of 14 ERA backers has vowed to remain chained to the doors of the Senate chamber for at least 4 more days. Illinois is one of 4 states targeted by supporters in the national drive to pass the amendment. A panel from the National Academy of Sciences has released findings on toxic shock syndrome. Jacqueline Adams reports.
85% of the reported toxic shock syndrome cases last year occurred in women during menstruation. Scientists still don't know how or why this rare but potentially deadly disease strikes, but a group of doctors has reviewed all the existing data on the disease for the Institute of Medicine. The chairman, Dr. Sheldon Wolf, outlined the recommendations.
We made 3 suggestions. First, women 15 to 24 years old should be made aware that they appear to be more likely to develop toxic shock syndrome than older women. Second, women who have had toxic shock syndrome will have had a baby within 6 to 8 weeks, may be at a higher risk and should be advised not to use tampons. And third, the use of high absorbency tampons, especially by adolescents, should be minimized.
Despite the risk to young women using high-absorbency tampons, the doctors stopped short of recommending to the Food and Drug Administration that warning labels be required in tampon boxes. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, Washington.
Israel launched air raids against Palestinian targets in Lebanon Friday, retaliation for the shooting of the Israeli ambassador to London. One of the targets was a Beirut soccer stadium where Israeli officials said hundreds of arms had been hidden. Now this.
According to a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, high interest rates have pushed business failures to a post-depression high, and there's no let-up in sight. So have a pencil ready for an important offer from the Journal that can help you get a head start every business day with up-to-the-minute business information that could affect your future, your family's future, and your company's future. Other Wall Street Journal articles reveal why small investors might benefit from the growing wave of bank mergers, how the recession is forcing people to work longer to earn their paychecks, and why, despite all the bad news, an economic recovery may be just around the corner. The Wall Street Journal, it's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 6 months of the Journal for $47, just 37 cents a day. That's $47 for 6 months of the Journal, just 37 cents a day. So if you're serious about business, put the Wall Street Journal to work for you. Call toll-free in the continental U.S. 800-228-6600. That's 800-228-6600, except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
Actress Sophia Loren is expected to leave her jail cell in Italy soon. A parole judge Friday approved a request to free Loren under a new law permitting special leave for defendants serving less than 6-month terms and needing to attend to urgent matters. The actress has spent 16 days of a 30-day term for tax evasion in a minimum security jail that used to be a convent. Loren's bags are reportedly already packed, and a silver Mercedes is parked outside, waiting to take her home on Saturday. Judy Muller, CBS News.
This is CBS News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
Now we're in Chicago on News Radio 78. 78, and it's 11:32. This is Alan Bickley. Our weather tonight, variably cloudy and cool with a low of 44 degrees, and then partly sunny on Saturday with a high of 70 degrees, but cooler near the lake. On Saturday night, low in the low 50s, and then Sunday, sunny and warmer with a high around 80. At Midway Airport, it's 54 degrees. At the lakefront, 58. At O'Hare Field, 53. Winds from the northeast at 8 miles per hour. And the skies over Chicago tonight are cloudy. 14 women who have chained themselves to a railing outside state Senate chambers in an attempt to get the lawmakers to approve the Equal Rights Amendment say the effectiveness of their actions is being evaluated every day they remain there. Group spokesperson Mary Lee Sargent comments.
We have to reassess that every day. We have to see if we are being effective. And our measures for that are a lot of gut feeling. They're what we hear from around the state. It's what our supporters outside tell us. A lot of things go into it, but we're certainly going to be here for today. In fact, I think we're going to be here for a while, unless they just make it so impossible. Already they're doing things like taking this chairs away from the area and that kind of thing. So they're trying to make it uncomfortable.
Several blocks away in a motel, seven hunger strikers continue their vigil in hopes that the Equal Rights Amendment will be ratified. The ERA fast and self-imposed bondage hasn't favorably impressed Governor Thompson, who says the hunger strikers and women in chains at the Capitol aren't helping ERA's chance of passage. Quoting Thompson, "All I'm saying is protesting, fasting, and chaining isn't going to pass ERA. It, in fact, as we have seen demonstrated over the last 2 days, is having no productive effects." As the governor spoke today outside his second-floor office in Springfield, 14 women chained to the railing outside the Senate chamber chanted slogans. It's the second day of self-imposed bondage for the women. In recent days, two legislators have threatened to withhold their votes for the amendment unless the seven hunger strikers end their fast. Thompson refuses to see the women in chains, citing work on the 1983 budget. He also says the actions of the North Carolina Senate show the decision to pass the ERA is not entirely up to the person sitting in the governor's chair. The lineup of speakers for the Equal Rights Amendment rally in Springfield on Sunday includes former First Lady Betty Ford and Chicago Mayor Jane Byrne. Mrs. Ford is honorary chairwoman of the National Organization of Women's ERA Countdown Campaign. The rally and march is one of four slated to be held in states which have not ratified ERA. Other marches are scheduled to take place in Oklahoma City, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Tallahassee, Florida. Now, says two other women scheduled to appear are Helen Milliken, the wife of Republican Governor William Milliken of Michigan, and Sharon Percy Rockefeller, daughter of Illinois Senator Charles Percy and the wife of West Virginia Democratic Governor Jay Rockefeller. The rally begins at 10 a.m. with a worship service in Isles Park. The march from the park to the Capitol will start at noon. I'll have more news in just a moment. Clean That Card Village, your full-service car wash in Morton Grove, featuring interior cleaning, buffing, and waxing. There is a better beeper in town, the new digital display pager from Chicago Communications. The pager's display actually shows you the number to call. There's no need to check with your office first. Callers can send you phone numbers, prices, or any message up to 24 characters long, anywhere in a two-state area. The Chicago Communications Display Pager even stores messages until you can write them down or get to a phone. For information on the new Display Pager, call Chicago Communications at 678-BEEP. That's 678-BEEP. Lois Becker Frolova has ended her hunger strike in Chicago. The fast was canceled after she received word from her husband Andre that Soviet officials have granted him a document bringing him closer to emigration. During an interview today on WBBM radio, she said that she was relieved to learn that another step was taken by Soviet officials, which could mean eventual freedom for her detained spouse.
Oh, God, I'm greatly relieved. I still don't believe it 100%. I spoke to my husband, though, this morning, 7:30 Chicago time, and he told me that he was, in fact, one document closer. He now has a document that allows him to get the documents, that he can turn in for the document that allows him to leave the country. So we're one document closer.
Andre Frolov and Lois Becker Frolova were married while Lois was completing a student exchange program in the Soviet Union. But when she left for home in the United States, her husband was detained. It was at that time both had decided to go on a hunger strike until Soviet authorities gave him permission to leave. The unemployment picture here in Illinois has grown more dim. The State Department of Labor reports that unemployment has reached the 11% level. What it means is 617,000 eligible workers in Illinois are out of jobs. Don Perlman has more on that.
With 29,000 more unemployed workers in May than in April, the Illinois Department of Labor is ready to literally roll with mobile units to sign up people for unemployment benefits. Department spokesman Fred Randazzo.
We will either add more people to our local office, or we will take remote units to the plant itself, as we have done in the past with companies like steel companies and heavy equipment manufacturing companies. We've gone to the union hall and so on to service the workers all at one time there, because we're dealing with one company in particular where we're dealing with almost 8,000 people, see?
Specific city-by-city unemployment figures for Illinois will not be available for about 3 weeks, but because of industrial and manufacturing layoffs, jobless rates are expected to be high again in Chicago, Joliet, Peoria, Rockford, and Decatur. I'm Don Perlman.
And now it's 22 minutes until 12 midnight. Shoes for Women by Bass, Bandolino, Nichols, and more at Der Lipizzan in Glenview, Winnetka, and Evanston.
This is Spectrum. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Joe Sobrin. Since my recent comments on the insanity defense, I've read a pair of books on a notorious use of it. The Yale Murder by Peter Meyer and The Killing of Bonnie Garland by Willard Galen. The basic facts of the case are not in dispute. What is in dispute is the way those facts should be viewed. Richard Herron and Bonnie Garland were students at Yale who became lovers. Herron wanted no one but Bonnie. Bonnie eventually wanted her freedom. One night at her Scarsdale home, she told him she had already had other lovers. He waited until she was asleep, then took a hammer and killed her brutally. A few hours later, he turned himself in. It's an old story. Herron had no record of violence, but he got jealous. In the old days at this point, it would have been hang down your head, Tom Dooley. But Heron's friends at Yale, particularly the liberal Catholic community, rallied around him and got him a first-class defense lawyer. A series of psychiatrists marched into court intoning phrases like transient situational reaction, and Herron got off with a manslaughter conviction. Galen's book raises thoughtful questions about the rights of victims and the abuse of psychiatry. Meyer's book is more dramatic, but it succinctly makes the same points. When psychiatry can't answer the basic philosophical question of free will, how can psychiatrists presume to say when an individual criminal is acting freely? And when psychiatric experts can't reach the kind of consensus that, say, ballistics experts can reach, how much is their testimony really worth? Richard Herron admits he meant to kill Bonnie Garland. He knew just what he was doing. But somehow this plain fact sank in a morass of interpretation. Now, there are situations when an insanity plea might make sense. If a woman puts cleaning fluid in her baby's bottle because she thinks it's milk, she has no intention of killing. But if she puts cleaning fluid in the bottle because she thinks the baby is the devil, she's committing a different and deliberate act. In the first case, the fluid is an accident. In the second, it's a weapon. If we're going to have an insanity plea at all, it should focus on the intention to kill, not the motive for killing or the emotional stress that prompted the killer. The Yale murder resulted in a travesty of justice, in which what was supposed to have gone on in the killer's skull upstaged what he did to the victim's skull. I hope the good Lord forgives Richard Herron, but I don't see why society should excuse what he did. This is Joe Sobrin for Spectrum.
Six personal opinions on Spectrum.